Welcome to The Unraveler, a weekly commentary devoted to explaining the Torah, Haftarah, and other aspects of Jewish history, ideas, and thought. This podcast is made by the FJMC, the Federation of Jewish Men's Clubs. The material of these Unraveler podcasts provide a historical and somewhat different approach to help you, the listener, better understand Jewish life and thought. This week's Haftarah commentary is read by Michael Freilich of the Seaboard region of the FJMC, whose Judaic knowledge has been shared with men throughout North America. We hope you enjoy it and find it intellectually challenging. The opinions expressed in The Unraveler are those of the author and do not necessarily represent the opinions or policy of the FJMC.
Shalom, you all. This week is the 46th Torah portion. It is called Akev. Akev is the second word, and it's the first distinctive word in the Parsha. The reading today from the Torah comprises Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 12 through chapter 11, verse 25. The Parsha relates the blessings of obedience to God, the dangers of forgetting God, directions for taking the land of Israel, and the making and the remaking of the tablets of stone, the incident relating to the golden calf, Aaron's death, and finishes with the Levites' duties and exhortations to serve God. The Haftarah is the second in a series of Haftarot of consolation. The seven Haftarot begin on the Sabbath following Tisha B'Av and continue through to Rosh Hashanah. The exiled Jewish people express their concern that God has abandoned them, yet the prophet assures them that God has not done so. He has not abandoned them. The Isaiah, or Yeshayahu, compares God's love and mercy for his people Israel to that of a mother for her children, and even greater than that. Isaiah then describes the gathering of the exiles back into the country, which will occur with the Messiah's arrival, and return to the initial subject of this Haftarah, that the Jewish peoples complain of being abandoned by God. He reminds the Jewish people of their rebellious behavior that brought about the exile and suffering. He concludes with encouraging words reminding the Israelites of what happened to their ancestors, Abraham and Sarah. Just as they were blessed when a child they had all but given up hope, so too God will send a Messiah to Israel. Today's commentary is written by Rabbi Chuck Simon, who was the executive director of the FJMC for many, many years. It was originally promulgated in 2010 and then repromulgated again in 2014. He writes, "While the Haftarah comprises Yeshayahu or Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 14 through chapter 51, verse 3. Commentary on whom Isaiah was in his times and that there were more than one Isaiah. Please listen to my prior recording where I deal with that." And that would have been for 44. Rabbi Simon writes, "Assume the seven Haftarot of consolation were placed in their current positions sometime in the 4th and 5th century. But what happened that motivated the rabbinic authorities to make this decision and to disrupt the normal Haftarah-Torah portion relationship? It is possible that the three special Haftarot leading up to the Ninth of Av were fixed centuries earlier, and the rabbis linked this Haftarah to the Ninth of Av in order to preserve the significance of the temple to maintain a longing for return to Zion, or Tzion. The Bar Kocha rebellion could have seemed like a distant memory to our ancestors living in a prosperous, relatively free Roman society 100 years earlier. We know very little about what transpired during the 4th and 5th centuries in Europe, Anatolia, and the Middle East, but what we do know is that these centuries were marked by the fragmenting and weakening of the Roman Empire and the rise of Christianity. Is it possible that the 7 weeks of consolation leading up to rebirth and renewal that occur on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur were a reaction to larger events occurring in the ancient world? Consider the following. In the period between 321 and 383, the Emperor Constantine moved the capital of the Eastern Church from Anatolia to Byzantium, which came to be called Constantinople, and Christianity became the state religion of the Roman Empire. the early church or churches, since there were many, became more theologically formalized, while variant conditions were slowly eliminated. Just as this was a period of physical growth for the early church, it was also one of theological growth. Developing sacraments such as baptism began to be formalized. Baptism, which appeared quite early in Hebrew Christian practice, changed from a ceremony that required complete submersion, like a mikveh, into one of partial submersion. This was accompanied by public and private fasting in order to remove one or a community from sin, not unlike Deuteronomic theology suggested by the prophets prior to the destruction of the first temple. The non-Jewish world continued to believe that fasting and prayer were vehicles to avert a historical dilemma or a severe decree. Theological authority trumped secular power, and in 452 of the Common Era, it was the Pope, not the Emperor, who negotiated with Attila the Hun in order to prevent the destruction of Rome. From the 4th century to the 15th, church theology, which advocated piety, fasting, penitence, and prayer in order to achieve salvation, dominated the ancient world. It is possible that the increased piety, which is emphasized by each of the 7 Isaiah Haftarot, were inserted into our liturgy to guide our people spiritually from the destruction of the temple into a world where God will remember us, renew us, and restore us as in the days of old. The increased emphasis on piety in the early church could have been parallel in the Jewish world by the repetitive requests for comfort, renewal, and return. The Haftarah for this Torah portion, Sion mourns that she has been forsaken, and God responds to that this could never be the case. Just like a mother cannot forget a child, so God will always remember and love his nation. God will never divorce himself from Israel. God and Israel are eternally married. Last week, Yeshayahu, Isaiah, told a nation in exile, God will provide the nation with comfort and the opportunity to be restored. This week, Israel, Zion, wallows in self-pity, not truly believing that this possibility exists. How many times have we had these types of discussions with loved ones who aren't yet prepared to change their ways or accept a new reality? How many times have we attempted to provide comfort and finally, after repeated attempts, realized that one can only offer an attempt to provide comfort for a specific amount of time? After that, the person grieving needs to take responsibility for his own grieving. The message of Yeshayahu or Isaiah calls to us in a number of ways. It asks, quote, when will you stop feeling sorry for yourself, end quote. It offers guidance and says, quote, take a step forward and trust, end quote. And finally, it reinforces week by week the need for increased national and personal piety as we lay the groundwork for a new beginning, as we prepare to become engaged on the high holy days. Thank you for your attention. As my daughter-in-law would say, Shalom all you all, which is the plural form they use in Texas. I am not a rabbi, I'm not a scholar, I am just a simple Jew from the hills of Baltimore. Achak ani Yehudi Pashut, Meharei Baltimore. Have a good day. Be well, y'all.
We hope that you've enjoyed this podcast. The FJMC mission is to involve Jewish men in Jewish life. You can find more information about the organization at the FJMC's website at www.fjmc.org. Music for this podcast is Climb by Shane Ivers and is available at www.silvermansound.com.